Your career as an auditor or as a professional Scientologist would be extremely wanting if you did not know about all there was to know about facsimiles. And very few people know very much about facsimiles, let me assure you. But the material is there. In Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, American edition, you will find the best rendition of this. However, as the years have gone on, we have never ceased to handle the problem of the facsimile. In the very early days of Dianetics, we saw phenomena occurring which auditors of today very seldom see. But what do you know? Our more recent processes turn all this phenomena on in full, and it again becomes extremely visible, as it has never before been visible. Not even in 1950 was it as visible as it is today. So it is necessary that you know this material concerning facsimiles. A facsimile is an energy picture made by a thetan or a body's machinery of the physical universe environment. It is like a photograph. It is made on mental energy. You could call it a mental image picture, but this is not really a facsimile. There are several types of mental image pictures. Now, the facsimile simply means what it says. Facsimile, as a word, means copy. And so we have a copy of the physical universe at one time or another on the track. You discover that these facsimiles have been corrupted by what you... We don't have any word for this, by the way, except a delusory picture. We probably should have a very much better word. Maybe I'll think of one before this lecture's over. But it's a picture which may be a facsimile, you see, isn't. See, it would run somewhat like a facsimile. It would look like a facsimile, but it is a picture of something that never happened. In other words, a better term for it would probably be an automatic mock-up. It is something that is not a picture of the physical universe. It is instead an interpretation of the physical universe recreated. In other words, it has changed. I'll give you an idea. A fellow walks down the street and he sees a girl. He walks on up the block and he's thinking about this girl. He has a picture of the girl, mental image picture. It is the girl as she was. Now his machinery gets to work, and before he's gone up the block much further, he has a picture, let us say, crudely, of a bedroom. Don't you see? Now, he never saw this girl in a bedroom. But on his illusory basis, he puts her in one. You get the idea? Now, if he's totally sane, nothing happens. There isn't any liability to this at all. We do this all the time. We look at a physical universe picture and we say, that could be bettered. And we make another one with more or less clothes on. In other words, as we look at the physical universe, we do get an accurate picture of it, and then, on our own volition, or by automaticity, we get other pictures which are not pictures of the physical universe, but the way we have changed it. Now, those pictures are not even vaguely aberrative until you've gone way past the point and remember this girl and see a picture of the bedroom and draw an erroneous conclusion, much to the detriment of her reputation. If this preacher is in terrible condition, why, he begins to mourn over this facsimile because he did this girl wrong. Actually, he only saw her out here in the street corner. But he has pictures otherwise. In other words, he has failed to differentiate between his own physical universe copies and his mock-ups. You see? But that mock-up is different than a mock-up. Now, we get to the third class that interests us. This is delusion, hallucination, other things come under the heading of this alteration of a physical universe facsimile. You see, the facsimile is the real thing. It is what one saw. Then we get the delusory picture. I just remembered we had a word for it once called dub-in. That is the technical word for it. That's a dub-in. That's taken from the movie terminology. They put actors on a set, and the actors are apparently talking, but they're not. There's a dub-in tape running up here, which is actually giving their singing or something of the sort. All right. The next one is just a plain mock-up. You put up a physical universe picture, three-dimensional otherwise, and you put up this picture, you know you put it up, and that is a mock-up. Now, we use this word mock-up because it's a very handy word to describe many things. It is slightly derogatory in some contexts. We speak of the body very often as the mock-up. That's Scientology slang. Technically speaking, however, a mock-up is a mental image picture created by the Thetan. Now, that is a mock-up. All right. Now, what horrors can an auditor run into as he looks over these three classes of a picture? Well, it's very interesting that the auditor's error in the past was failing to recognize facsimiles as facsimiles, and too often calling them dub-ins. He too often called them dub-in, when as a matter of fact, they were factual. Now, one of the sources of a dub-in is somebody told you. And if a person is in the wrong valence, he gets pictures of things that valence has told him about. Let us say he's in mother's valence, and mother tells him all about what a horrible brute father is, and one day he is looking up and down the bank, or he's being odd or something of the sort, and he has pictures of father beating mother. Well, this is quite interesting, because father never did beat mother. Mother said so, and this then became mother's mock-up, which is dub-in. Got it? So the primary worrisome source, and really the only worrisome source, of dub-in, or false facsimiles, is simply being in the wrong valence and getting the pictures of that valence. Of course, one never really does see the pictures of that valence. He has to dub these in and make them up out of remarks. So these are synthetics. Synthetics. When you separate valences on a preclear, you very customarily lose the bulk of this dub-in. In other words, you split off mother's universe, mother's valence, and after that he sees his own facsimiles, and he's quite startled to find out that he had some. Now, we have very many phenomena which concern themselves with this material, but as I say, the most interesting point is that the auditor all too often calls a real facsimile, a false facsimile, or dub-in, and refuses to process it. In other words, he calls back from it. He uses it as derogatory, something to make nothing out of the preclear. There is nothing as incredible as has gone on in your preclear's life. And if he has a picture, here is the thing you ought to know about all this. No matter where it came from, no matter what valence is in action, no matter whether it's dub-in or facsimile, it is handled by mock-up. You get that very clearly? Whether it's a facsimile or a dub-in in today's auditing doesn't matter too much. They're both handled by mock-ups, and you don't have to even vaguely differentiate between the two. But you should know which is which, because every once in a while somebody will come into you who should have gone somewhere else. You will conclude before you're through with the intensive. and they will shove at you nothing but dub-in, right straight across the boards. Just dub-in, dub-in, dub-in. They have all kinds of circuits. They have little men that talk to them, and they have ambulances that suddenly drive up. And when they get a thought, it's actually carried. I asked a fellow one time, I said, now how do you get the statements which you make? I was aware of the fact that something was telling him, and then he was saying. And he said, well, like everybody else, I have a little railroad train which comes out of a tunnel and it has the words, one word on each car. And as it goes by, I then know what to say. Fantastic phenomenon. Now, this is not modern at all. I was running a pre-clear on whole track. You mustn't talk to the public about whole track. But if you, as an auditor, neglect the fact that you will have other Thetans facsimiles prior to this life. You see, the body goes along, and it's got all the facsimiles that some Thetan collected in a prior life. And also, the Thetan is still possessed of a few of his facsimiles from his prior existences. And if you don't take it into account that these things can exist, you're going to have an awful time with pre-clears, I assure you, because you're going straight up against fact. Anytime you want to assault fact, why, go ahead. It makes a good game. But remember that you're making a game out of it. In other words, there are these whole track pictures. And as I was looking over a pre-clear one time on whole track, all of a sudden we got into an area which was Phoenician. And way back when, you know. And here was a whole bank of facsimiles of tremendous interest, this whole bank was, because he could afterwards look up in dictionary costume plates, that sort of thing, and correct them as to what they were wearing when. The chap who had lived that life, evidently was back on the body's track, the genetic entity's track, you see. And the chap who had lived that life had been crazy. And he had a tape. In other words, instead of getting a little set of railroad cars, he got an unwinding scroll, which came in from the right and scrolled its way across the front of his view above the picture, somewhat the way we put titles on cinema, see? And it was in Phoenician, cuneiform. He couldn't read it, so he didn't know what the fellow was thinking about. Now, there's that type of phenomena, and as well as that, there's all manner of oddities just in straight facsimile, you see. Now, this was a set of facsimiles that had some dub in, see. They were facsimiles of the Phoenician area, and they had dub in. So we had both phenomena present in that lifetime, and you quite commonly discover this. All right. In a modern life, in modern living, perhaps the foremost reason of failure on the part of psychotherapies was that they never believed what the patient was saying and never understood what was happening. It's quite interesting. A patient would tell them about prenatals. Even Freud mentions prenatal engrams and so forth. And the patient would tell them something about this, and they would say, oh, poo, 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 you know that couldn't happen, and they would invalidate it. And this would, of course, spin the fellow in at that point of the track and make him worse than before. Now, it happens that in the GE's bank, we have such things as the sperm sequence, the ovum sequence, the sperm-ovum sequence. These are all three separate types of engrams. Furthermore, on the sperm sequence, we can move back on the genetic line to father. Quite amazing. You often find the wrong father there, too. Now, as we come forward from that, we find the development of the body throughout its period of gestation in the womb. And we find pictures all the way along the line. These pictures have a black visio, or they have a dub-in, which is made up out of the pictures which were heard, I mean, the hearing, things heard by the child, and then the child dubbed in the environment. But the actual visio is, of course, black. It's dark in wombs, also noisy. That bank is there. And, of course, this could be very confusing if you ran into this area of blackness and didn't immediately blow through it, recognizing it for what it was, on the grounds that you had run into a vacuum. Now, a vacuum consists of a super cold piece of metal, which, when contacted by the Thetan, pulls in the entirety of his bank. Swoosh! And afterwards, when you're trying to remedy somebody's havingness, you have this chap sitting there in the middle of a vacuum. Of course, this old picture of a super cold object is still behaving like the super cold object. This accounts for people the way they get stuck in space opera. They're in spacesuits way up in space someplace. Somebody shot them. There they are. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know anything about it. Why? Because as long as that suit was warm and the metal they're in contact with was fairly warm, they were all right. But the moment that they made an active liquid or electrical contact with a super-cooled object, their whole bank would come in and brainwash them. That's about all there is to brainwashing. All one's pictures disappear suddenly. See? Well, now, the prenatal area is black, and one of these vacuums is so confusing, and there's so much motion in it, that the blackness is the total answer a thetan can give to it. He just covers all that up with blackness. So you'll have two types of blackness here. Now, there's a third type of blackness. Fellow's walking in the dark, can't see anything, stumbles over anything. He has an engram, which is totally black. Don't you see this? All right. Here are these various types of facsimiles. You become accustomed to these. There's no reason to go into it. I've given you the chief crossroads and the chief confusions in all this. Now, the main point about it, however, is that they are there, and they are there to be handled. If there was no facsimile bank, if a thetan had no facsimiles, no dub-in, and couldn't mock up, he would never get in trouble. But he would never profit by experience or have stimulus-response reactions to count on, either. The heart and soul of all consequence in living, guilt, conscience, various conflicts and so forth, are contained in the electronic phenomena of what we call the bank. We call it a bank because big electrical calculators, computers, have what they call standard banks, which are little card file systems. So we call this whole system of facsimiles, whether facsimile, dub-in, mock-up, this whole system we call a bank. All right, and that bank and its ability to influence the thetan is, of course, the heart and soul of behavior, unalterable patterns of. You get the idea. So in order to change behavior of a thetan plus a body, it is then necessary, in one way or another, to handle this bank. And that's what we've been doing for a very, very long time. There are three types of banks. There's the somatic bank, the reactive bank, and the analytical bank. You know the analytical bank is there. The reactive bank sneaks up on you. Now, you don't know a sperm sequence is there, and one day you start to wiggle. Now, how can a little tiny sperm picture of that size all of a sudden cause a whole body to wiggle? That is because everything is basically a consideration. And the picture's size doesn't matter. They may be tiny, they may be big. It all depends on the consideration of them. In other words, one of these facsimiles can influence a whole body, or it could influence only one cell in the body. You see? It could be big or small, and so size really has nothing to do with it. But the person normally sees the analytical bank, and then under auditing is quite surprised to find the reactive bank pictures. These are quite startling. He all of a sudden sees a sperm sequence. He sees a prenatal. He sees a past life. He sees a material that he never dreamed of. And he all of a sudden sees a prisoner in chains sitting in a dungeon. And it suddenly flashes into his head. That's why he sits that way in his room every Saturday. He's obeying those pictures. Now, these pictures were basically created to have an effect on somebody else. And when they ceased to have an effect on somebody else, they began to have an effect on the body and the thetan. Therefore, they survive. The definition of survival is no effect. What is the continuous continuing game? The continuous continuing game is a game which never had any effect. There was no effect, so it went on forever. You should be able to see that very clearly. A game will continue as long as there's no absolute effect occurring. An action will occur until the end of the action cycle, which is start, change, and stop. And therefore, if we mocked up a picture to have an effect on Joe, And Joe couldn't care less and went happily on his way. The picture is there to have an effect. So, on a person who isn't too well off, it has an effect on him. You got the idea. So, we get a survival of the picture as well, because it had no effect on Joe. Don't you see? These pictures were basically under Axiom 10. But they have turned around and turned on the person. Now, in addition to that, the Thetan uses them to handle and control the body. He has an awful time controlling a body. And the impossibility of getting stuck to a body is countered by the near impossibility of keeping a facsimile bank in good, solid tangle. In other words, he actually holds himself into the body to some degree, and he disciplines the body. He keeps the body, he thinks, from running wild, and so on with this facsimile pattern. So as you change and move the facsimiles of a body, you will be struck by the different action reactions of the body. And the point is that the facsimile bank under the Thetan's control is a wonderful piece of machinery, and out of his control is a nightmare. And when that bank goes out of his control, he, of course, gets aberration, downscale, and gets bad profiles. Now, the first and foremost thing to know about a facsimile is that it contains all perceptions. How many perceptions are there? Well, I have counted to 54. That is sight, sound, and so forth. People will tell you in the final analysis, there are only a few these perceptions, maybe four or five. But that is not true. There are over 54 of them. Well, the reason we stopped counting was because we got tired, not because we'd run out of perceptions. There's the perception of body motion, a perception of joint position, a perception of heat, a perception of small motion. There's the perception of course, photons, which we call visio. There's a perception of touch. These are the commonest ones, perception of smell. Now, sight, sound, touch, and smell actually have to be handled sooner or later if you're handling any facsimiles. It's quite amazing, but they have to be handled. There are more tricks connected with handling a facsimile than one could easily outline in five books the size of Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health. But these facsimiles all had a basic purpose, which was an effect on somebody else. And remember, to a Thetan, the somebody else is the body. So he is still winning when he has a lot of effect on the body with these facsimiles. But because there have been other Thetans on the genetic line, and there are other facsimiles, his stimuli very often does not get the exact desired response on the body. It gets some other response and introduces an unknown element. He thinks he's just handling one bank. He's actually handling thousands of banks, which were there before him. You see how this could be? Now, there aren't other Thetans in the body, but there's the residue of other Thetans' banks. You follow that? So that these banks are energized and made alive by the Thetan who is now running the body. And because they were made by somebody else, the feeling that they were comes through, and very often you will have people trying to tell you that there are other Thetans in the body. This is not so. There are facsimiles made by other Thetans in the body and reactions made by other Thetans in the body. And this is a pretty spooky thing. When the Thetan runs into this amount of unknownness, he wants the body to jump and it lies down and goes to sleep. He is apt to be puzzled. And life and the handling of behavior is more or less a contest of trying to get the body or other bodies to do what you want them to do by your various stimulus response mechanisms and perceptions. We use these perceptions to turn on the mechanisms. Just like we tell a dog to go away, so we need sound, really, to handle a bank, don't we? We say something, the bank restimulates. Now, all kinds of meanings and significances can get into one of these banks, and people can get stuck on certain phrases in these banks, and it's most wonderful how a single phrase can aberrate a whole life. There's no doubt about the fact that the bank is quite powerful and is quite formidable. And there's also no doubt today at all about our ability to handle that bank. It is not now the problem that it was, so don't feel completely overwhelmed. it couldn't have been very overwhelming if, in a period of the last quarter of a century, I've managed to whip it as a human problem. We know more about life than life does now because we can talk about what life is doing. And we can talk about this bank and these various banks and these various manifestations. And they're all very complex. But if you figure that all things are complex and all cases are tough cases, why, you will be in a happy frame of mind all of the time because your prediction will be absolutely right. Don't go being dismayed because cases are tough cases or banks are tough banks and it's all a complex problem. So what? We have the keys to these things, and the keys turn out to be very, very simple things. As far as perceptions are concerned, you can turn on any perception you want to today with modern auditing. As far as handling pictures is concerned, you can handle any picture that you want to. There's no great difficulty in doing this. Just the standard SLPs handle these phenomena. The only reason that you, an auditor, have to know about these phenomena is to know what you are looking at it when it appears. And that's why I'm telling you about it. Don't be particularly surprised when the preclair starts to wriggle as like a snake sideways on the couch. And you say, what's the matter? I don't know, but I'm swimming down a long channel. He's just gotten into a sperm sequence, that's all. Either audit it out or get him out of it. It's an energy picture which was intended to have an effect on somebody, and believe me, it does. And that's all you really need to know about it. And that auditing, of course, handles these various phenomena. And I'm telling you all this simply because you as an auditor should know about all this. Because you as an auditor will see all this. And therefore, it's a sort of a preview, the way my talk here, the way they try to sell you a movie, you know, and they show you some of the exciting scenes therefrom. So I'm really not giving you anything to learn particularly to solve here. I'm just telling you what's coming.